So tonight, want to focus on the thought of changing our thinking. And so, all of us, I think, have different times where, especially if there's a bad habit we're trying to quit, and we have many reasons why we're going to quit, we have in our mind, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this again. But then, all of a sudden, we find ourselves, we've done it again. And we wonder, okay, how did that happen? And one of the things we ask ourselves is, what was I thinking? Because it just doesn't make sense. We know all the reasons not to do it, but yet we did it anyways. And it can be very frustrating. We just think, what happened? Like, and sometimes we assume that just my brain just shut off for a minute, and then it kind of came back on again after I got through this thing that I did, right? But it's a question, when something like that happens, we need to ask ourselves what we were thinking and find an answer for that. Because it wasn't something that we weren't thinking. The problem was is that we were thinking wrong. And what happened is we got into some wrong thinking. We weren't able to pull ourselves out of that wrong thinking in time. It's kind of... It's almost like a plane where it's sort of getting lower, and it's like part of you saying, pull up, and you didn't pull up in time. And so you get that. And so we want to realize that, okay, something happened, and I got into this wrong thinking. I have to start to figure out how that happened so that it doesn't keep happening. And so if we're ever going to change the way we act, we need to change the way we think. So we need to learn how to do that. And we want to understand that, because when we get into those different ways of thinking, it's kind of the thing. When we say, okay, I've been here before. How did I get here again? Why do I keep coming back here? And you want to find out why, because you get tired of getting back to the same place again. It's just like if you're traveling someplace and you've gone around in circles and you're back where you started. It's like, how did this happen? I don't ever want this to happen again. I want to get where I want to go in life. So we want to kind of understand how we think and how we end up thinking wrong. And so the Bible gives a lot of different thoughts about thinking and about our hearts. And I want to consider two of those this evening. And so... the first is in Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And the second one is Matthew 12, 34, where Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so when we read those and we think about it, we could say, in other words, we would say that what is in our hearts and what we dwell upon in our thinking, that's going to determine what we're going to say, and it's also going to determine who we will become. Alright, and so as we think about stuff, it's going to affect how we're going to act. It's going to affect the things that we are going to say. And so it's kind of the thing is that we realize when we do something that we don't want to do, we realize that we were thinking about it before we did it. If we say something that we immediately wish that we could put back in our mouths, we realize, okay, I was thinking those thoughts and I said them out loud. And so it's there, right? And when we find ourselves in the person that we are and we wonder, how did I get here? We realize, okay, well, it's because I was dwelling upon something and I focused on it and I got myself to this position. And so it's something that we would realize, anatomically speaking, that it is with our minds and not with our hearts that we think, right? That this organ pumps our blood. It doesn't do any thinking for us. But we do understand, of course, part of our misunderstanding is that mankind didn't really understand how the body worked. And we understand a lot more now, and so... I think men at one time assumed that our hearts did something different than what they do now. But we want to understand, because of course God knew how our bodies work and everything, But it's the idea is what we dwell upon in what we would call our emotional center. And so that would be our heart, our emotional center. And anatomically, we would understand that is in the brain. It's essentially in the frontal lobe. But there's a part that governs our emotions, right? And so what we dwell upon in our emotional center can affect us greatly, both positively and negatively. Okay? And so it's the idea is when we react to events emotionally, our emotions can cloud our judgment. And so it makes clear rational thinking very difficult. Where based on our emotional reaction, sometimes we actually lose sight of what it, reality is, that we judge things through our emotions. When we actually realize, okay, this wasn't actually true. That one example would be is say you go to you're gonna take a test, right, and you've studied, but then you go to take the test and you suddenly get this panic feeling, you think, oh, I'm gonna fail, and your mind goes blank, right? And it's like you've psyched yourself out, even though you say, oh, I know all this stuff. Like, what happened? Right? And so it just something happens where your mind is just not thinking. And it's they refer to it as thought of emotional reasoning. And it's not where you're thinking logically, you're able to just kind of problem solve and just say, okay, pros, cons, this is what I should do. It's where your emotions have taken over and you've really, in many ways, lost your sense of reasoning. And so once we get in such a state, it often becomes difficult to snap out of it. That it just, and I think all of us have found ourselves in that a different way where we get into something and we just say, how do I get myself out of this, this mood that I'm in, this way of thinking that I've got stuck in. And so these are just some examples of negative emotional thinking we can get stuck in. So first off would be negative thinking about our circumstances. And so where we look at things, maybe the immediate situation we're in, and we feel fear and panic, and it cripples us. Whereas, like, if we were able to calm down and rationally think, okay, there's a way out of this, there's a way I can deal with this, right? Anxiety, where we can be worried about things that we think are going to happen. And we can worry ourselves sick about something, but then find out when the time comes that half of what we worried about wasn't even real, right? And sometimes it can be despair, where we think there's just no hope. I just might as well give up with all these things that are against me. It just I'm going to lose, and there's just no way about it. Whereas, like, well, no, there is ways to find it. It isn't hopeless. But then as well, we can have negative thinking about ourselves. And so we can think of that, two things we've talked about a lot are about guilt and shame, where we feel guilty about something, we feel ashamed for something that we've done, and that just dogs us. And, of course, we want to realize when we have something done, the whole idea is God wants us to come to Him and confess it, and then as we accept the guilt, He removes the blame. But there can be times where even though we have been forgiven by God, by others, we still beat ourselves up for a mistake that we've made and think that just no one's going to love me because of this. And then as well, there's sometimes where we get in a thinking where we just, we're so full of ourselves, so impressed with ourselves, we have way too high a view of ourselves, of what we think that we can do. And that so often gets us in trouble. That's why the Bible says, pride cometh before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. But then as well, we can be the other way, where we have much too low of a view of ourselves, where it's something where we should be able to do something, but we already assume that, oh, I can't do it, I'm going to fail. And we don't even try. And we get ourselves in that position. Thirdly, we can have negative thinking of others. And this can be things of anger or bitterness. That in the moment, somebody does something to us, and it drives us nuts, and we just want to react, and we start seething, and as that happens, it's like, how do we calm that down? How do we kind of let the air slowly out of that balloon instead of just having it blow up and just explode, right? But then sometimes what happens too is anger is more the short term, bitterness tends to be the long term, where somebody's done something to us, and as soon as we think about that person, then we're right back to that thing that they did that wronged us, and we're just hating on that person and swearing at them under our breath and just doing all kinds of things. Just we're just very upset, and the Bible talks about that it's like, that's like poison. It's like a root that can spring up and hurt a lot of people, and so we want to be wary of that. We're to put it away. But then as well, it can be wrong and healthy desires, and this can be with a lot of different things. Sometimes it can be, say, if we're health-wise, if we're wanting to cut back on certain things and eat healthier, but then it's like we get a craving for something and it overtakes us, and we feel so bad afterwards because we were trying to keep this resolution we had or whatever it might be, but then it just, we're like, oh, I just saw that, I wanted it, and I grabbed it. And something inside our mind said, yes, take it, it'll be so worth it, but then you get on the other side and it's like, it was definitely not worth it. But we have that. Just different desires come, and it just, they start firing up, and it's like, how do we get that to calm down? So, you can think of it much like a computer that freezes. There are times when our thinking is in need of a reboot. And I know I was having trouble with my laptop last week, where things are working, or it seemed like it was working, but then you go to click on something and that little kind of circle goes around, thinking, and then it stops going around. And then it's just like, you're clicking, you're trying to do the Control-Alt-Delete, and it's like, it was so bad that I had to actually pull the battery out, put it back in, and then just fire it up again. I had to do it two or three times before it finally started functioning properly. But the thing is that sometimes how our mind gets, where we get stuck on something, it freezes. And that's all it's thinking about. And we can't divert it any other way. And so what we need to have some kind of reboot to the system, otherwise we're going to say and do what we're going to regret later. And so we need that reboot. And it's kind of the thing that sometimes that's really where, how we've got into, say, an addictive or destructive habit, is that's been our means of rebooting the system. That's our means of changing our mood. That's, you think of most drugs, they're called mood-altering drugs for a reason. And that's the thing. It's like sometimes we're down, we don't know how to get ourselves up, so we take something that's going to bring us up. Or sometimes we're all nervous and just overwhelmed by things, and so, okay, I need to take something to calm me down. And so we do these things, and it's basically we're trying to reset the system. But of course we realize that doesn't act, like, yes, it does help temporarily, but it doesn't solve the problem, and it gives me a whole bunch more problems. So I need to stop doing that, right? And so we want to learn that. And so we want to understand that God has a better, healthier way in which we can change our thinking for the better. And so that's what we want to focus on for the rest of the time this evening. And so his way is mind renewal through Bible meditation. And so it's kind of the thing is that, it's always with what we do in RU, we have different things where we go through different challenges, and with the journaling, there's like where we're reading the Bible, and then we have in the back where he has these med cards that we fill out, where if there's something that's God's kind of laid on our heart, we write that down. And went, oh, I think sometimes we look at, well, how is this actually going to help me? I'm here to deal with the addiction, and this just kind of seems just a diversion in a way. This isn't actually dealing with the problem, but we want to understand it in the way that it actually works. Because we want to understand, God does not want us to continue to fail. He does not want us to continue hurting ourselves and others as we fail. Instead, He wants to help us find victory. He wants us to find success in life. He doesn't want us to continue to go down the wrong path. He wants to get us on the right path and to stay in the right path. And so for us to have victory and success, we find that God promises those things to us as we learn to meditate on His Word. So there's a couple verses I want us to consider. First off, this is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where God says to him, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." And that book of the law we would recognize to be like the Bible. Back then, the only part of the Bible that was in existence was what Moses had written, but what he says applies to the Bible as a whole. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." And it's interesting because this is the only verse in the entire Bible that the word success is found. And so it's kind of the thing is that if we want to say, okay, what is the key to success? I think there's so many different books written by men about how to find success. But God is saying, if you want to have success, you need to learn to meditate day and night in my word. And do it so that you can learn to do what it says. And so that's how you're going to find success. But then as well, there's a verse that we use a lot in our U. And it's from Psalm 1, 1-3. "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." It says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so it's the thing is that we see that picture of someone that meditates in God's word day and night, that he's like this tree that is abundantly fruitful, that isn't withering, that isn't diseased, that instead is producing a bountiful fruit. And the thought about prospering, that we want our lives to prosper. And so he says, if you're meditating in my word, then you're going to be able to prosper. And so we see that and we want to understand that. Okay, this is what he wants for us. What does he mean? How do we find this success that he speaks of? And so the thought of meditating, it is to dwell on anything in thought. Okay? So it's to contemplate something, it's to revolve it in the mind. Another way a person would compare it to is like you think of a lot of cattle, of how they have essentially four stomachs, and what they do is they eat up the grass, but then they spit it up again and they chew it up some more, and that happens again and again through the day, and they basically get as much nutrients out of that as possible. And that's kind of the idea when we're thinking about something is we're dwelling upon something and we're getting as much out of that as we can. And so that's what God wants us to do with His Word. And so it's this idea is whatever our heart dwells upon is going to affect what we say, what we do, and who we become. And we've already looked at that. We can understand that from our own experience, especially when some negative, that we've been dwelling upon, we've been meditating upon something negative, and it's been producing negative results in our life. And so, we want to understand, okay, then my heart is essentially my meditator, and where I'm going to dwell upon these things, where I'm going to emotionally kind of cling to certain things. And so, if I'm going to meditate on something, it needs to be on that which is true, positive, and beneficial, rather than what is false, negative, and unhealthy. So we realize that if I change what I'm meditating upon, what I'm dwelling upon, then that's going to change what I say, it's going to change what I do. And so this is a verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so it's this idea, a criteria for what we think about. Is like, I want to evaluate, is this something that's true? Is this something that's lovely? Is this something that is virtuous, worthy of praise, that I could, if someone looked at what I was thinking about, would I be okay with someone seeing my thoughts at this moment, or would I be ashamed if someone was able to see my thoughts, right? That these are things that would say, okay, I need to think on these things that are good, that are profitable. That's where we want to have our thinking. Things that are negative, whether it's towards ourselves, towards others, we want to cut that out of our lives. So I just want to give some practical steps as we seek to change our thinking. So first off, it's the idea when we realize that we've sinned or done something that's wrong, we need to apologize, we need to make it right with the person we've done it to, make it right with God, but also we need to take time to identify what wrong thinking led to that wrong behavior. And that's kind of what the guy talked about this night, where it just sort of, we don't just say I'm sorry and it's kind of our get out of jail free card and we keep doing what we're doing, right? We say, okay, why did this happen? What bad thinking led to this bad behavior? And then as well, we want to think, okay, what was the trigger for that wrong thinking? That's sort of, okay, this is a bad thing that happened, let's dial it back. What was I thinking just before it happened? What mood was I in? And how did I get in that mood? What happened? And we think, okay, it was this person came, did this, or I heard this on the news, or I was watching this, and that kind of got me going down that path. And so we want to just kind of map it out, because of course, we don't want to keep taking that route again. We're getting tired of that. And so we want to find out, okay, I want to see the first sign going down the wrong road and find a different way to go. And so it's wise for us to avoid what triggers us. And we see that in Proverbs 22:3, it says, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That we kind of look ahead, okay, this is what's going to happen, going to get into a bad situation, how about I just avoid that situation entirely if I can? And as well, it's wise for us to withdraw from negative influences. That's what Psalm 1 talks about. That a person is blessed if they don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, they don't stand in the way of sinners, they don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But a lot of times we realize is we have a lot of negative thinking because we're having a lot of negative influences. Say if you're struggling with always having a very critical spirit, sometimes you realize, okay, because I'm around a lot of people that are always complaining. And maybe I shouldn't spend as much time with those people because they're having that effect on me, right? And so there's different things like that. It talks about, it says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And so it's sometimes, okay, if I'm struggling with anger, maybe it's like, am I spending a lot of time with people that do it? Maybe I need to find people that are a lot calmer and so I can learn how to deal with my anger in a different way. And so we want to find that. Sometimes, if we can, withdraw from negative influences. But of course, it's kind of the thing, it's not always possible to avoid all the triggers, right? It's kind of the thing. Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, if I just could kind of like find a place out in the woods or out in the middle of nowhere where I couldn't get any of these other things bothering me, then, oh yeah, I could live a fun life. But then it's like, okay, well, I have to actually interact. I have to, like, pay the bills. I have to interact, like, do some different things. Sometimes it's like dealing with your boss is like your trigger, right? And it's like, well, I could I could kind of quit my job, but then I would have no money, right? And so I have to show up in the morning and I have to learn how to deal with this person. And so because we can't always avoid all of our triggers, it's necessary for us to prepare ourselves for the next time we encounter that trigger, that we know it's coming, how do I learn to respond properly. And so, through each week, as you study the Bible, as you work on different challenges, what happens is God's going to give you different verses. Maybe it might not be a whole verse, it might be just one little thought in a verse. And he's giving those to you to meditate upon, to think over, to just think about. And the thing is, we want to understand, the reason why he's doing that is because he's seeking to prepare us for the challenges he knows you're going to face. That we don't know what's going to happen. We can try to predict how our day's going to go, but there's so much that just, we can have a whole day planned and then one thing happens and everything goes crazy. Right? And, but of course, he always knows what's coming. And so, he's saying, okay, I want to give you something that's going to help you today. And so, we get a verse and it's just like, okay, I don't know what this is for, but we realize, okay, he's given it to me for some reason and I'm probably going to find out pretty soon why. And so, the thing is, the more we learn to think about it, meditate on it, then the more ready we'll be for what's coming. And so when we're thus prepared, that's the thing is, when we face a trigger, our mind starts to want to go down that path that always goes down. Instead, what happens, we have something to redirect our mind to. It says, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to think about this. I guess it was last winter that I was having some issues with kind of anxiety about different things. And I remember there's some verses that I was able to just kind of repeat at different times where it was like, God is a refuge and strength, very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. I'd sometimes say that over and over again. It would help me just to calm down and not be all worried about what could happen. And so that's the thing. You've got to have something to redirect your mind to, that you can almost think of it this way, that each day that it's like the Lord knows there's going to be battles you're going to face, and so he's giving you ammunition so you can fight that battle. And so meditating is basically when you're loading the gun, right? It'd be such a shame as if like you had to fight a battle and it's like you still had the ammunition in the box and you never put in the gun. It's like, well, just wait a minute, let me load my gun. It's like, no, that's the time of meditation. That's when you load your gun so you're ready, right? And so when this happens, it's not where you're automatically just going down that wrong thinking. You say, okay, I have a new way to think, a way to fight against this temptation that's coming. And so then it's the thought that as we continue to meditate on God's Word, what happens is it puts us in a healthier state of mind. And so it makes it less and less likely you're going to fall into negative thought processes, right? Because it's, if you're dwelling on what's positive, what's healthy, what's beneficial, then your mind's not going to be dwelling on what's negative, harmful, and going to lead you astray, right? And so we want to do that. Our heart is our meditator, and so we want to be meditating on what's going to be to our benefit. So just some final thoughts. Romans 12 verse 2 declares that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we want to understand that if I'm going to become a different person, if I'm going to get victory over this bad habit, I need to renew my minds. And so that process of mind renewal occurs as we first learn to identify and halt negative destructive thinking. And there's a verse in the Bible that talks about this. It's bringing every thought into captivity, where it's like we're starting to go down a path and say, nope, that's wrong. I'm not going to go that way anymore. And it's instead where we fill our hearts and minds with God's Word, which is the truth that makes us free. And we've talked about that. It's out with the old and with the new, that we realize this is negative, this is leading me astray, that needs to go out, I need to replace it with something. And so we remove and replace. And so we take out what's negative and destructive, and we fill it with God's word that's positive. And the blessing with this is this, that as we spend each time meditating on God's word, God becomes real to us. Because we discover that the verses and the thoughts he puts in our heart are exactly what we need for the daily challenges we face, thus turning defeat into victory. And this is what can happen, is that you have this thought and this verse and you don't know what it's for, but suddenly you get in this situation and you're like, okay, and you already know this. When I'm in this situation before, I always go down this path. But then it's like, wait a minute, God gave me something to get me out of this. He gave me a bullet to put in my gun. I can fire that off and I can defeat this thing that's always overcoming me. And so it just realizing that, okay, how did God know I was going to go through that? And just that he would give me what I needed so I could get through that. That this is God being active in my life, showing himself strong on my behalf. And just when that happens, it's something we really can be encouraged by. And so I want to encourage you with that, and really, like when we're doing challenges, when we're studying the Bible, that's why we do it, because God's trying to give us what we need. That God's Word isn't just some textbook, it talks about God's Word being alive, and it can give us what we need for each day if we're willing to look into it and willing to just see what God has for us and then dwell upon it. And just it seems like something that's not going to make any difference, but the thing is, as we learn to do it, it can make all the difference in the world between defeat and victory. All right, any thoughts as we conclude? Yeah. All right.